And now, folks, going from the ridiculous to the nauseating, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Sorry I'm late, pal. I bet you thought I'd never get here.
I prayed for it. Well, tell me, Phil, how do you like broadcasting on Friday for a change?
I don't know. How much change am I going to get? Ha, 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 ha! That Harris is phenomenal with a capital F tonight. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You corny. But on the level, Phil, don't you think Sunday is a pretty blank day now that all the comedians are off for the season?
What do you mean, all the comedians? Fred Allen is still broadcasting.
Phil, calling Allen a comedian is like slipping a rocking chair under Gypsy Rose Lee and calling her Whistler's mother. Allen, a comedian. Look, fellas, anybody can get laughs with that stuff Fred Allen does every week. Take that Allen's Alley, for instance. There's nothing to it.
What do you mean, there's nothing to it?
I mean, it's a surefire formula. Now, look, every Sunday he goes around, knocks on doors, and asks a question. I'll show you. Give me that close pick.
What are you going to do, Jackson?
I'm going to put it on my nose and make off like Fred Allen and take a trip to Benny's Boulevard. Now, Mary, you be Portland Hoffa. Dennis, I want you to be Socrates Mulligan. And Phil, you're Falstaff, the highbrow poet. All right, Mary, let's go. Wait till I get this close pin on my nose. Where?
Me.
Yeah, so go ahead, Mary. Start it.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Benny! Mr. Benny!
Well, what is it, Seattle? As the broom said to the dustpan, what do you hear from the mob? I ad-lib that, folks. I'm always ad-libbing.
Mama says if you don't stop ad-libbing, someday you're going to say something funny and surprise everybody.
Oh, your mother.
Have you got a question for Benny's Boulevard, Mr. Benny?
I certainly have, Seattle, and this is it. Who is the funnier comedian, Jack Benny or Fred Allen? And here we go to Benny's Boulevard to investigate. Well, here we are at Benny's Boulevard.
Is this near Allen's Alley, Mr. Benny?
I can't tell. I've got this clothespin on my nose. Well, let's find out what John Doe has to say.
Oh, it's you again.
Good afternoon. Now tell me, Mr. Doe, do you listen to radio?
Only to my shows. You know what I talk about, what they're selling.
Well, what about the show itself that follows the commercial?
Well, by the time that starts, I'm already down at the corner buying this stuff.
I see. Then you wouldn't know who's the funnier comedian, Fred Allen or Jack Benny.
Nah. All I know is E-O.
I see. Now, Seattle. Now, Seattle, we'll see what Mrs. Nussbaum has to say.
No!
Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, who do you think is the funniest comedian on the radio?
Well, my first husband like Abbott and Costellanos.
That's Costello.
And my second spouse is liking Fibber McGee and Becky.
I see. Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, who is your favorite comedian? Is it Jack Benny?
You should live so long.
Are we going home now, Mr. Benny?
What are you holding your nose for?
Shall I tell him, folks?
Seattle, behave yourself. Now to find out what Socrates Mulligan thinks. He lives right here.
Yeah.
Mulligan, I'm here to stew with you. I'm an ad-libbing fool. Now, Mr. Mulligan, I'm going to name two comedians, and you'll tell me which one you prefer. First, Fred Allen.
Oh, he makes me laugh.
And what does Jack Benny make you do? there I go with another ad lib. Falstaff, tonight. This thing is killing me up here. Falstaff, tonight. Tonight we have a brand new question for you.
That is precisely why I'm here.
That's precisely. Precisely.
I have rotten a poem.
That Pricely was right.
Have you heard? This isn't a blackout, Uncle Mo. You bought that hat too big.
No, I haven't.
Or, I've saved the gloves that Mother wore when she knocked out Gunboat Smith.
Now, wait a minute, Falstaff. My question tonight is this. Who do you think is a funnier comedian, Fred Allen or Jack Benny?
Allen is corny. He's nasal, he's dull. Benny's the same with no hair on his skull.
But all that I asked was for you to compare us.
For a socko comedian, just give me Phil Harris.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we wave goodbye to Benny's Boulevard as two pretty waves wave back. This ad-libbing will be the death of me. See what I mean, folks?
This is Mr. Fred Allen. I just got in from New York.
Oh, hello, Mr. Allen. Mr. Benny ain't home, either.
Yes, I know that.
Well, Mr. Allen, Mr. Benny's pet chicken is awful sick.
His chicken is sick? What's wrong with it?
I'm frying it to death.
Well, Rochester, here's what I called about. Is there any chance of using Mr. Benny's room while he's away?
Did you say use or rent?
I get it. I tell you what, Rochester. I'll take the room, and when Mr. Benny gets home, I'll give him a check for whatever he wants.
Give him a check?
Well, yeah.
That kind of eliminates the middleman, don't it?
Well, how about this? I'll give you the check, and you can give it to Mr. Benny.
How about this? You give me the cash and let Major take it for it.
Well, I don't see why we should be arguing about money, Rochester. After all, you should be glad to have someone around the house. You must be mighty lonesome in that big place there, all alone.
All alone? Oh, Mr. Allen, come now.
Rochester, I hesitate to think what Mr. Benny will say when he gets home.
It won't do for radio, will it?
I'm afraid not. Well, Rochester, I guess I won't get much rest at the house of Benny with all your friends whooping it up around there.
I'm inclined to agree. You're so right.
So I'll just let the room go. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye, Mr. Allen. That was a close one. I nearly rented the room, honey.
Honey? Rochester, to whom were you just talking?
Oh, that was my cousin, Sylvester. Sylvester J. Honey. Goodbye, honey. I mean, Mr. Allen.
Fred, my darling.
You fool.
Oh, yeah.
It's so nice to have you back on radio. I've missed you.
Oh, so you are the one. According to Hooper, you are the one.
No, darling, we've all missed you. Why don't you come back, Fred?
Well, I'll tell you, darling. I have been dabbling in something which, for the want of a better name, we shall call television.
Please, darling, people are eating.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say, you didn't by any chance happen to see me on my first television show, did you?
No, I didn't, Fred.
You weren't home?
Oh, yes, I was home, darling.
Oh, no set, darling?
No guts, darling.
Well, you know, television's a new medium, and I have discovered why they call it a medium. Because nothing is well done, or very little.
Oh, darling, I think you're so funny.
So you are the one.
No, Fred. No, seriously speaking, darling.
Well, as if we haven't been. What else?
No. Why did you leave radio?
Well, I'll tell you, Tallulah. They wanted me to do one of those programs where you call up people on the telephone and ask them questions and give them prizes, you see. And that's why I quit and went into television.
Do you mean?
Yes, it was a choice between the medium and the telephone.
Wait for laugh. Oh, excuse me.
No, don't. Don't read the stuff in parentheses. You skip that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I'm glad I was able to get you back on radio, even if it is only as a guest.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they told me about this big-name broadcast, I told them it wouldn't be a big-name broadcast without you, Fred.
Well, in radio, Fred has been a four-letter word for some time.
Oh, in fact, I insisted that they put you on this show.
Well, you insisted? You met with some stiff opposition, did you?
Well, I had to go through channels.
Oh, I say, I've read about those channels. But I had thought of coming back to radio if I could find a new formula, a format, you know. I did get one idea, and strangely enough, it came from Portland. She seemed to think that if I...
Mr. Allen!
Well...
Mr. Allen!
Well, as I stand here and feign surprise, if it isn't Portland now. Portland, Georgia, I had some more here. See, we didn't rehearse the audience. It says applause after this, but you see, rehearsal. This is what's mixing things. Portland, you're just in time. This is Tallulah Bankhead.
Hello, Portland. I'm glad to see you.
How do you do, sir?
Portland, I understand that you weren't on the first television show, Fred, did. Why was that?
But my dress wasn't cut low enough.
Oh. You mean a dress with a V-neck?
A TV neck.
Well, before this conversation gets too fey, Portland... Portland, how about telling Tallulah the idea you thought up for a radio show for me?
Oh, I didn't think of it. Mama thought of it.
Oh, your mother is writing for radio now? Well, by the way, I was on television the other night, Portland. Did your mother see me?
Oh, she never could.
You mean that your mother thinks that I...
As Mama put it, to the high heavens.
Ad lib, a stinging retort.
Fred, you're reading the parenthesis.
Oh, the parenthesis. This jumbo type. Oh, yes. Well, Portland, enough of Mama as a George Jean nothing. Now, how about this idea of hers for a radio show?
Yes, let's hear the idea.
The idea.
Well, Mama thought first you ought to have an announcer who's big and fat and jolly,
yeah,
and laughs all through the program.
Yucks it up, huh?
And you want to get an orchestra leader who's tall, good-looking, and eats ham hocks.
Ham hocks? Well, say, Portland, that sounds like...
And you have a young fellow who sings, and his mother always wants you to pay him more money.
Singer, but Portland, that idea...
And you have a butler who drives your car, which is a broken-down Maxwell.
Maxwell, but...
And you have a quartet that sings your commercial.
Commercial, but...
And for your sponsor, you get a cigarette company.
Cigarette, but...
And you'll be the star of the show, Mr.
Oh,
Allen.
Really? I can be in it, too,
uh-huh.
Huh?
You yeah. wear a toupee.
Yeah.
You're always 39 years old.
Uh-huh.
You play a violin, and you do your own laundry.
Yeah.
And you have a washing machine that you rent out to your neighbors.
Say.
And you're very tight, and you keep your money down in a ball.
I'm sort of the pinch penny type, huh?
Yes, and that's a wonderful title. You could call it the Pinch Penny Program.
Well, I don't know, Portland. What's the future in becoming a salesman for Jell-O? I mean, where could you go?
Well, what's the matter? Do you think Mama's idea revolutionary?
Well, it is a little revolting.
What do you think, Miss Bankhead? You haven't had any lines for a whole page.
I was wondering when you noticed, darling.
Do you think that kind of a program would go anywhere?
Yes, darling, to another network.
Well, how about trying out this idea? idea right now, Mr. Allen.
No, I don't think I could.
But, Mr. Allen, what have you got to lose?
Face.
An excellent reason for doing it, darling. So on with the Pinch Penny program.
Pinch Penny.
The Pinch Penny program. Ha, 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 ha. 30 minutes of hijinks with your favorite radio comedian, star of stage, screen, and laundry, Pinch Penny. Well, here it is, 7 o'clock, and Pinch Penny isn't here yet. I wonder where he can be.
Say, that always gets me. There's a guy who gets $25,000 a week for doing that program, and you know he's not going to be late. He's probably been standing there since noon with his bare money belt hanging out. Try another opening. Could you scare up another opening?
Okay. Well, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first show of the new season. And so we give you the star of our show, just back from an extended 3-month, 40-cent tour of Radio City, Pinch Penny.
Hello again. Hello again. This is Pinch Penny. And Don Thomas, you know that's not true. You know I took a cruise to Honolulu. It was a wonderful boat trip.
Really? How did you go, Mr. Penny? First class?
Well, not exactly.
Second class?
Well, no, you see...
Third class?
Well, no, Don Z.
Oh, then you must have gone steerage.
Steerage? Why, Don, how can you say that about me?
It's easy. Didn't you find it pretty crowded down in steerage?
Don, for your information, I'll have you know that I had the whole boat to myself.
What boat was that?
Well, it was one of those little boats that hangs over the side of the big boat.
Oh, well, you went stowaway.
Yes, that's the class I was trying to think of. And it's the only way to travel, Don, with the wind and the spray in my hair.
Yeah. Your hair, Mr. Penny?
Well, I had it hanging over the side of the boat. Now, stop that, Don.
Did you like Honolulu?
Oh, it's so colorful there. And I'll never forget the day we docked. All the little native boys standing on the pier, and the people on the boat throwing pennies into the water, and the way those little rascals dive in and fight to get that money.
They go to all that trouble for pennies?
Well, after all, Don, it's not taxable. No inheritance tax or anything. Liquid assets, you know, just as you pick it out.
Now, Mr. Penny, don't tell me that you...
Now, Don, please, after all, say, where is everybody? Where's Dennis? I want to talk to Dennis about his song for our first show.
Oh, here he is. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Don. Mr. Penny, my mother thinks...
Hello, Dennis.
My mother thinks I ought to get more money for this new season.
I said hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Penny. My mother thinks I ought to get more money for this new season.
Now, later, kid. Now, look, for your first song this year...
My mother thinks I'm underpaid.
Your mother doesn't know what she's talking about. Now, for your...
Ooh, what you said.
Now, for your first song...
My mother is the brains of the family.
Some brains. Now, look, kid, for your first song...
She was an honor graduate from the University of Southern California.
Come louder.
I say she was an honor graduate from the University of...
Now, cut that out. I pay you ample salary.
You mean sample. My mother says that Bing Crosby makes as high as $50 a week and sometimes $75.
Well, Bing Crosby has a lot of interest. He's in the orange juice business. He owns a baseball club.
Where does he find the time for all that?
He makes movies. He runs a racetrack.
Where does he find the time for all that?
He has 4 sons.
Where does he find the time?
Yes.
Where? Well, my mother either says I get money or I'll quit.
Well, goodbye, darling. Goodbye, Dennis.
Every time I open my mouth to quit, somebody says goodbye, darling. All right, goodbye. And my mother says she's going to send you back these pennies you sent from Honolulu.
Where? Mr. Penny, you don't mean you dove for pennies with those kids in Honolulu.
Well, the water was so delightfully warm, Donson. And now I am in a spot.
Where is everybody, Mr. Penny? We got to have a rehearsal of the show.
Well, Portchester should be here any minute with the scripts.
Oh, well, here's Portchester now.
Oh, yes. Hello, Portchester.
Hello, Bo.
Now, look, darling. I mean, Portchester. Did you finish typing the scripts?
Yes, Bo, but I had a lot of trouble. It's tough to write on a typewriter with only 5 keys on it.
Only 5 letters on that typewriter?
Well, what's the matter with that? I've done very well with those 5 letters.
So what 5 letters are they, Porchester?
L-S, M-F, and T. Well, it's like sending up smoke signals.
Well, it's a Corona typewriter, isn't it?
Mr. Penny, I think you're the funniest.
Oh, so you're the one.
Well, I wish the rest of the cast would get here so we could rehearse.
Well, Mr. Penny, I have the quartet here if you wanted to run over the commercial.
We have no commercial. This is a sustaining program.
But they've already rehearsed it, Mr. Penny, haven't you, fellas?
But, fellas, we don't need a quartet. We have no commercial.
Okay, fellas, let them hear it.
But, fellas...
S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G, we're sustaining NBC. S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G, who's sustaining OTV?
But, fellas...
S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G, all stars on NBC.
Boy, man...
S-U-S...
Quiet! Quiet!
Now, look. Whap! Look, fellas, I haven't got time for that now. I'm waiting for my clarinet teacher. He's supposed to be here. I'm going to call him up and see what's keeping him. Hand me that phone, will you, Porchester?
Here you are, Bo.
Thank you. Hello? Hello, operator? What is the matter with those girls out there?
Mindy, Blue Eyes is flashing.
It's the first time I ever saw them flash.
Did he give you a present when he got back from his vacation?
Yeah, he gave me a locket. Ain't it a beauty?
Oh, yeah, an Indian head.
But it's nice, though, isn't it?
Oh, they're a dime a dozen.
Oh, not these. They've gone up. They're 10 for a dime. But instead of bringing me expensive gifts, I sure wish he'd stop making up new rules.
Oh, Mindy, you're always telling me about your troubles. I have troubles, too, but you never ask me how I'm getting along.
All right, Ethel. How are you getting along?
Don't ask.
Hey, how are you getting along with Herman?
Don't ask.
Gee, I thought he was going to take you out Saturday night.
Didn't ask.
Why, I thought he had intentions.
Oh, sure he's got intentions, but he don't want to get married.
Oh, man. You sure got to hand it to him.
Not Herman. He takes it himself.
But what happened to that other fellow? What's his name? You know, Harry.
Oh, I could never marry him.
Why not?
Well, we used to ride home on the subway together, and I got off on 34th Street, and he got off on 23rd Street.
So what?
So I realized I could never marry a man below my station.
Say, Ethel, he's flashing again.
Maybe we ought to answer. Hello, hello, yes, hello.
Say, what's going on out there? I want you to get my clarinet teacher on the phone for me and tell him to come right down here. What? Oh, all right, I'll give you one, too. Gold diggers, copper diggers, Indian heads he wants here.
I'm back, Mr. Penny. My mother changed my mind.
Oh, she did.
But this is going to be my last season because... For next year, my mother's got me a contract with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer for $1,000 a week.
$1,000? Oop. Well.
That's right, $1,000 a week.
MGM signed a contract with you?
Ooh, signed.
Now cut that out.
Have no fear, Meredith Harris here.
Well, it's about time. It's about time you showed up. Where were you?
Now, take it easy, Dad. I'm here, ain't I? Where was you, he asked me.
Where was you? I said, where were you?
Okay, if you're going to get geometrical about it. Well, ain't we dandy. If I'd have known, I'd have brung you an apple.
It's not brung, it's broad.
Ah, tell it to the morons. What goes around here? How about the rehearsal?
You'll have to wait until we get through with my clarinet lesson. Until my teacher comes, I think I'll do a little practicing. My teacher will be here any minute. He comes by bus, so it'll take a little while for him to get here.
I think I'll go down and have an ice cream soda.
I think I'll go down, too. I'll have an ice cream soda with you.
Now I'm going down, too. I can't stand any more of this.
Well, come with us. You're going to have a soda?
Yeah. I always take one jigger of soda. Got to leave plenty of room for that good stuff on top.
Cowards.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Allen.
Oh, you're back again, are you, Portland? Well, tell me, what did your mother think of the way we took off that sterling character she originated for radio?
Well, Mr. Allen, she doesn't think it's your type of program.
Oh, really?
She has another fellow in mind for it.
Mr. Livingston, I presume?
Well, she has got a wonderful idea that would just fit you.
Oh, another idea, really?
Uh-huh. She thinks you ought to have a program where you walk down an alley.
Yeah.
And you talk to people you meet there.
Yeah.
Like a southern congressman,
uh-huh.
an old farmer, and an Irishman.
And you tell a lot of old sure-file jokes and find myself broadcasting at the same time everybody else is listening to a quiz program someplace. I know what you mean, Paul, and I'm not going through that again. No, sir, I'm not.